Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chacham Shamar B'Lishon Baal, U'Baal Shamar B'Lishon Chacham, Lo Amar Klum. So the Chacham tries to be Matir the Neder using the language that the husband would use, or the husband, obviously includes the father as well, Shamar B'Lishon Chacham tries to be Mefer the Neder with the Lashon of the Chacham, Lo Amar Klum. Neither of those work. Titanyo. We have a braita, Zeh HaDavar, which is the beginning of the Parshat HaNidarim. So Zeh HaDavar seems to be, either it's extraneous in the sense that the Parsha ends with Eilu Chukim Asher Tziva Hashem et Moshe at the end of Parshat HaNidarim. So therefore, Zeh HaDavar seems extraneous in the beginning. Edber Moshe, Urshem, Otod, Ibn Eser, Lemor, Zeh HaDavar, Asher Tziva Hashem. So that extraneous Zeh HaDavar, the Gemara is darshaning. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that the Gemara Baba Batra actually says that the word Zeh Davar means, this usually means a mitzvah of the Sha'am, not mitzvah of the Dorot. Now, obviously, Nidarim are not a mitzvah of the Sha'am, they're mitzvah of the Dorot. So then Zeh Davar has to mean or be used for something else. And what is that? This is the limo that we have. Zeh Davar, Chacham Matir, Vein Baal Matir. The Chacham is Matir and Neder, but the Baal, the husband, is not Matir and Neder. Shiacho. You would think that it's an logical extension. Ma chacham she'ein mefer, the chacham that doesn't have the ability to do hafara, matir, he does have the ability to be matir, baal she'mefer, a baal that has the ability to do hafara, in udin she'matir, certainly he should be able to be matir the nether, tamalomar zeh adavar. So the pasuk zeh adavar says only this way. Zeh is usually a mute of some sort that says that this and no other way. So the miut is that the husband must do it this way and not the way that the chacham acts. The chacham has the right to be matir, not the baal. And then we have a braita that does just the opposite and gives us the same information, which is tanya idoch, zeh davar baal mefer, vein chacham mefer. The husband can do afara, the chacham cannot do afara. Sheacho, ma baal she'in matir mafer. The Baal, who doesn't have the ability to do Atarat Nidarim, is able to do Atarat Nidarim. Chacham Shematir, Chacham that is able to do Atarat Nidarim, Einu Din Shemefer, certainly should be able to be Mefer the Nidar. Tamalomar Zeh Adavar. Again, the Miyot of Zeh Adavar, Baal Mefer, Ve'en Chacham Mefer. That the Baal has a right of Hafara, but the Chacham does not have a right of Hafara. Now, the truth is that the Kal V'chomers that are given in each Braita really aren't strong Kal V'chomers, because, as you see, the Braita reverses it. In one case, it says it from the Baal, in one case, it says from the Chacham. The truth is that even without the Kal V'chomer, it's more like a Hekesh. If the Chacham can work this way, and the Baal is also in this Parsha, why can't the Baal use the methodology of the Chacham? And the same thing the other way around. If the Chacham is in the Parsha and the Baal is in the Parsha, then why can't the Chacham utilize the vehicle of the husband? So the answer is Zeh HaDavar, that they only have one way to do it, and they have their rights are dictated by the limud in the parsha. But aside from that, they don't gain other rights, or they're not able to utilize the tools of the other. Now, with regards to the husband, it's pretty explicit in the psukim that the husband has the right to be mefer in the nidarim, and that is his vehicle in the parsha ta nidarim. Because it says, Isha hafeiram v'ashem islachla, that the Baal has the right of hafara, or we saw earlier a number of times in the last couple of days, Isha yikimena v'isha yiferena. So the word hafara is used numerous times with regards to the termination of the neder, ayudei the Baal. So we know that the vehicle for the Baal is hafara. For the Chacham, we have nothing explicit in the psukim, because as the Mishnah in Chagiga says, Tatarat Nidarim is something kilu tuim ba'avir, something that hangs in the air as if there's nothing to be rest upon, or there's no real limud. It's learned out of a diuk of the pasuk, which says lo yachel divaro, person's not allowed to profane their word. And we learn over there, hu eino mechel divarav, he's not allowed to profane his word, but acherim, or chacham, is mechel divarav, is able to profane his word, meaning able to be matir the neder. And that comes out of the hachala, out of the profaning. So there you see that the way or the vehicle for the Chacham is Hatara, is being Matir the Neder, because the way that it works is that Lo Yachel Devaro, the Chacham is empowered to be Mechel, to make it into Chulin, to change the nature of the Neder. And that's what the Ran says over here. L'fi zeh mashmali, the Lishna, the Mefer, Shayach Mikanum Ve'elech, Hafara, nullification, is a prospective type of termination of the neder, whereas hatara is a retroactive type of termination. And that's from the language and the nature of how they're learned. Hafara is that the Baal enters after the woman has taken the neder, and he stops the neder. He truncates the neder. As we've said or expressed it before, he neutralizes the isurim that were generated by the woman. So in a sense, the maisa neder still exists. It's just that he has now neutralized those isurim created by the neder. On the other hand, when it comes to hatarata neder, we're learning out of lo yachel divaro, which is the requirement that a person not profane his word, meaning he keeps his word, but the Chacham is able to abrogate that, to breach that necessity for keeping his word. And how does he do that? He undermines the neder. He takes away the maisa neder completely. He's not coming here to neutralize the isurim. He's coming to remove the neder completely, to deem it a mistake, as if it didn't exist. So hatara is the vehicle for the Chacham. Hafara is the vehicle for the husband, for the father. And the psukim are telling us that the two are not interchangeable. And in a sense, the truth is that when it comes to hafarat and neder, we'll see this in tomorrow's daf more acutely, that once the Baal is mefer the neder, or even if he is making the neder, the husband really becomes the owner of the neder. He becomes the party of the neder. That the maisa neder, which the woman put in place, once the husband neutralizes the isurim of the neder, he becomes the balim of the neder in some sense. So later on, if they want to be shoel l'chacham in hakamat neder, then the husband is the one who has to do the shoel l'chacham. The woman doesn't do it anymore because the husband then becomes the owner of the neder. And that's because of the way that the husband's functioning. He's functioning to take a maisa neder of the woman and now either uphold it and therefore keep it in place, so he's riding a vehicle that exists already, that maisa neder, or he's nullifying the isurim generated by it, but not taking out the maisa neder, whereas the chacham works by completely undermining it and removing it. But Zeva Davar teaches us that each one works on its own plane, and the two cannot be conflated. Then the Gemara continues and says that we have a limud here from Zeva Davar that is found by Hatarat Nidarim or Hafarat Nidarim. And we have Zeh Davar that is found also by Shchute Chutz. And the Gemara draws a Gzeir Shava between them. And through that Gzeir Shava, we have a number of Limudim that come out of that Gzeir Shava. So the Gemara says, Nemar Kan Zeh Davar. It says by the Pashat Nidarim. Zeh Davar. V'nemar Lahalan. And it says, later on is not really later on, it's earlier, it's in Sefer Vayikra. Zeh Davar B'Shchute Chutz. That it talks about the requirements of the dinim of Shchut Echutz and begins with Zeh Davar. Ma b'Shchut Echutz, Aron uvanav v'chol Yisrael. Because the parsha begins, v'yidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aron v'el banav v'el kol Yisrael. So therefore it includes everybody. Af parshat nidarim, Aron uvanav v'chol Yisrael. So too for parshat nidarim, it's applicable to everyone. Umakan Rashi Amatot. On the other hand, nidarim is v'yidaber Moshe Roshi Amatot. Just like by Nidarim, there's a requirement of Rashi Amatot, so too by Shchut Echutz, there's a requirement of Rashi Amatot. So now the Gemara wants to understand, what does all this mean? B'Parshat Nidarim, L'may Hilchata. In Parshat Nidarim, what is the halachic ramification of this? So Amar Rav Acha B'Yaakov, L'Achshir Shlosha Hedyotot. That comes to teach you that three Hedyotot can be Matir Neder. So even though it says Rashi Amatot by Parshat Nidarim, the Gzeres Shavat Shchut Echutz, which includes Aron, Uvana, V'chol Yisrael, everyone, teaches that Nidarim can have a heter ayudei shlosha hedyotot. So the hedyotot have certain rights here, or certain abilities to help out and be matir the neder. But, v'ha roshe matot k'tiv, what are you going to do with the fact that it actually says roshe matot by heterat Nidarim? Am Rav Chista v'item Rabbi Yochanan b'yachid mumche. That comes to teach you that a yachid mumche can also be matir Nidarim. So here we have a balancing act between the fact that it says Roshei Matot by the Parshat Nidarim, but we have a Gzeir Shava that opens it up to Kol Yisrael based on the Zeh Davar Shchut Echutz. So how do I deal with those two? I say that a Yachid Mumche is able to be Matir Neder, or Shlosha Hedyotot are able to be Matir Neder. And that's how I balance between Kol Yisrael and Roshei Matot. Roshei Matot apply when it's a Yachid. Kol Yisrael applies when we're dealing with Hedyotot. And now the same by Shchut Echutz. How do we reconcile those differences? B'Shchut Echutz l'mayuchato. What's the halachic ramifications by Shchut Echutz? Am Rav Sheshet Lomar, Sheyesh Sheila Be'Hekdesh. That comes to teach you that you have the ability to be Matir Neder Hekdesh. Now this has ramifications in terms of a person who is Shchut Echutz. Shchut Echutz is someone who takes something that was otherwise Mukdash to the Mikdash, was supposed to be brought on the Mizbeach and the Mikdash, brought as a Hakrava on the Mikdash, and instead of bringing it to the Mikdash, he's Makrivit B'Chutz, he's Makrivit outside of the Mikdash. That's called Shchut Echutz, where he shechs it outside, and Hakravat Chutz, where he places it on the Mizbeach B'Chutz, and those are Isurim. Those Isurim are generated by the fact that this item is Hekdesh. So if I was able to be Matir my Hekdesh, then retroactively, this item was never Hekdesh. And therefore, when you're Makrivit, or you shechted B'Chutz, you're shechting Chulin and not Hekdesh. And you actually would not be in violation of Shchut Echutz. So based on the Gzeira Shava, it teaches us that, of course, Kol Yisrael is responsible and accountable with regards to Shchut Echutz. That's why it mentions Kol Yisrael by Shchut Echutz. But it also mentions that by the Gzeira Shava, that Rosh HaMatot have application by Shchut Echutz. What's that application? That we allow for Hatarat Nidarim by Hekdesh. And that Hatarat Nidarim Hekdesh works retroactively, undermines the Neder Hekdesh, and therefore you actually eliminate the Isur of Shchut Echutz because it was no longer Hekdesh when he was Makrivit. Mar says, that's all great for Beit Hillel, who says that there can be what's called a Ta'ut, a mistake by Hekdesh. One can unwind Hekdesh, one can reverse Hekdesh. The Beit Shammai Damar ain't Sheila Hekdesh. According to Beit Shammai, who believes that you cannot be Matir Hekdesh, then what is the application of the Gzeira Shava with regards to Rosh HaMatot by Shchut Echutz? Now, Beit Shammai never explicitly says you can't be Matir Nidrei Hekdesh, but what Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argue about is whether you can have a Ta'ut B'Hekdesh or not. Beit Hillel believes you can make a mistake in Hekdesh, and if you make a mistake in Hekdesh, then it's not Hekdesh, because you failed, in a sense, to have Pivili Bo Shavim. You failed some way in putting the nether together, and that unravels the nether Hekdesh. On the other hand, Beit Shammai says there's no such thing as ta'ut b'Hekdesh. There's no such thing as a mistake by Hekdesh. If you make something Hekdesh, whether that's what you intended or didn't intend, it becomes Hekdesh. So as the Ran points out over here, and so does the Rosh, that by definition, Beit Shammai cannot be, or cannot believe that you can be matir nether by Hekdesh. Because the whole way that Hatarat Nidarim functions is through Hatara, by deeming the nether to be a ta'ut, mi'karo, it being a mistake retroactively, and as if the nether never existed. But that means that you can generate a mistake, in a sense, within the item in order to negate or to eliminate the nether. If you believe you can't have a mistake in Hekdesh, then basically, by definition, you also cannot have Hatarat Nidarim by Hekdesh. And that's why the Gemara here says, according to Beit Shammai, who says there's no ta'ut by Hekdesh, there's no mistake by Hekdesh, how do you ever have Hatarat Nidarim with regards to Hekdesh? If that's the case, then what is the halachic ramification of the Gzeir Shava to Rosh HaMatot by Nidarim for Shchut Echutz? So the Gemara says, Beit Shammai, Leit Luhu Gzeir Shava. First of all, Beit Shammai doesn't learn the Gzeir Shava. So if they don't learn the Gzeira Shava, now they eliminate that problem because they're not compelled to say that there's anything learned from Rosh HaMatot to Shchut Echutz. But now they have the word Zeh Davar is extraneous. Zeh Davar Parshat Nidarim L'mai Ktiv. So then the Zeh Davar, which is written by Parshat Nidarim, what are they going to do with it? Lomar, to have the limud that we saw at the beginning of today's Gemara, Chacham Matir Vein Baal Matir. Baal Mefer Vein Chacham Mefer. Zeh Davar comes to teach you that the Chacham's track is that of Hatara, and the Baal's track is that of Hafara, and the two cannot be exchanged, conflated. They each one have to work on their own path and their own vehicle and tools that the Torah gives them. So then, Zeh Davar Shchut Echutz Damai Ktiv. So then, why do you have Zeh Davar written by Shchut Echutz? Lomar L'Shchita Chayav, Vein Chayav Al Milika. Comes to teach you a miut that by Shchita it works, but not by Milika. Now, by Shchut Echutz, technically what you're doing is bringing that something that otherwise should have been brought to the Mizbeach or the Mikdash. Instead, now you're being makrivit outside of the Mikdash. So now, if you were to mimic or simulate what was going on in the Mikdash, When it comes to animals, you'd have shechita. When it comes to birds, you would do melika. Melika is the shechita of kodoshim within the mikdash. So now when I'm in shechutei chutz, and I do melika, a person does melika b'chutz, that melika is the way that it's done inside the mikdash. So you would think, had there not been any miyut, that the way to be in violation of shechutei chutz with regards to a bird is to do melika outside of the mikdash. Zeva Davar comes to teach you that that's not the case, but rather only shechita is the functioning tool of Isur with regards to shechutei chutz. Because outside of the mikdash, the only methodology for killing animals or for being mitahir animals is through shechita. So since we're dealing with shechutei chutz, the only paradigm that we know of is shechita. Therefore, you have to use shechita b'chutz in order to be in violation of shechutei chutz, even though in the mikdash you would use melika. But melika outside of the mikdash is something that's a treifar, it's really a pasul, doesn't work. So based on that, the Zeh Davar teaches you that only shechita and not melika generate an isur of shechutei chutz. Elu lebeit shemai lachshir gimel hejotot minalon. Then where do Beit Shemai learn out the fact that three hejotot can be used for Hatzarat Nidarim? Beit Hillel learned it out the Gzer Shava to Shkutei Chutz. But Beit Shammai, what are they going to do? They don't have that Gzer Shava. So how are they going to learn out three hejotot? So they're going to learn it out Mid Rabasi Bar Natan. They're going to learn it out from the Limud of Rabasi Bar Natan, which we'll do in a second. We'll work on that Limud. Before we do that, I just want to make a number of points here. One is that, what does Beit Hillel do here? You have two Limudim that Beit Shammai has that seemingly Beit Hillel does not have a source for. The one is the fact that shechita is what you're chayav for in shechutei chutz and not melika. Where do they know that from? They don't have zeh davar to be extraneous because they use zeh davar in the gzeres shava. And the same is true in the previous limud, which is zeh davar, which teaches you that the chacham and the baal have separate tracks and they cannot run on each other's tracks, that the chacham can only be matir neder and the baal can only be mefer neder. They learn that out of zeh davar. Where does Beit Hillel learn that out from? So you can see in the Ran over here in the Rosh that, first of all, with regards to shechita melicha, in the parsha of shechutei chutz, there it says asher yishchat. A number of times it says asher yishchat, and therefore the Rishonim note over here that Beit Hillel will learn it out from the word asher yishchat. That says that shechutei chutz are a violation only when there is shechita, and they learn it out of the word asher yishchat. That's number one. Number two is, where do they learn out the Zeh Davar that teaches you that the Baal and the Chacham work on their own tracks? The answer to that is that they also use the word Zeh Davar. Well, if they use the word Zeh Davar, what are they going to do about the Gzer Shava? So the Rosh over here suggests what's called Mufne Mitzad Echad. It's a Gzer Shava where only one side of the Gzer Shava is extraneous. So with regards to Shechutei Chutz, the Zeh Davar will be extraneous. With regards to Nidarim, there'll be a Zeh Davar there, but it won't be extraneous because you need the Zeh Davar also for the Limud that the Baal and the Chacham cannot overlap. But nevertheless, we'll still learn the Gzeres Shava because the one by Shechutei Chutz is extraneous. And this is according to one who believes that Mufne Mitzad Echad, having extraneous words on one side of the Gzeres Shava is sufficient to generate a Gzeres Shava. We don't need it on both sides of the Gzeres Shava. That's point one. Number two is, the Gemara here assumes that there are two vehicles for creating Hatarat Nidarim. One is the Yachid Mumche, and the other one is the Shlosha Hedyotot. How does the Gemara know that Shlosha Hedyotot is what's necessary or what is the vehicle for Hatarat Nidarim? We know that there's Yachid Mumche, and then we know that there's Shlosha Hedyotot. How do we get from one to the other? All it says by Parshat Shechutei Chutz is that all of Bnei Israel are responsible for Shechutei Chutz, and therefore also all of Bnei Israel can generate Hatarat Nidarim. But still, how does that prove to you need three over here and not one or not two? So here the Rosh says that the reason is that once you move away from one, we know Yachid Mumche from the Rosh Hamatot. Now we have to say that the Gzer Shavah to Shechutei Chutz teaches us that there is another vehicle for Hatarat Nidarim, and it's more than one. So more than one is two. But two, that's what we call Beit Din Shakul. That's an even Beit Din. You can't have an even Beit Din. You need to have an odd number. Therefore, three is the number that you use. And the Rosh says, even though Shmuel in the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Shnaim Shadanu Dinam Din, that when two people adjudicate a case and then they make a decision on the case, even though it's wrong, it's a Beit Din Mechutzav, nevertheless, their position is upheld, and it's a good Beit Din. He says that's only true by Dinei Mimonot. But Isura, even Shmuel agrees that you would need three. So the minimum for a Beit Din, if you want to get a Beit Din that's going to be a decisive Beit Din, is three. So therefore, when we move from one, we move next to three, because three was the number that you would come to after you added one to get to two. Then you can't have a Beit Din Shakol, you get the three. The Ran says it in a little simpler form, which is that the Torah has paradigmatic numbers. We have numbers like 1, 7, 30. There are numbers within the Torah that appear. One of those numbers is 3. Because after you move from 1, what's the next significant number that we see in the Torah, recurs in the Torah? That's 3. That's found by a Beit Din. And since this Hatarat Nidarim is simulating what a Beit Din does, therefore the 3 seems to be a logical number, because it's using the paradigm of Beit Din of 3, and using that as the next stage. After 1, the next number that's significant is this number 3. The other thing to note over here is that the cases are not exactly parallel. Because the Yushalmi says, the Ran points out over here, and we've seen this before, that when it comes to the Shlosha Adyotot over here, you can't just take any three people to be matter the Neder. It has to be people that are Savrei, people that can understand, can be taught, and can be logical in their thought process, and that they have these types of thinking skills and discerning skills in order to be Matir Neder. The way the Yushalmi phrases it, they have to understand that they're being Matir the Neder and what it means to be Matir the Neder. So that's a little higher threshold than saying Kol B'nei Yisrael, that's found by Shchut Echutz. So the Ran notes this and says that despite that fact, each one's Hakad Deite V'Hakad Deite. We know that Shchut Echutz has all of B'nei Yisrael, and there it literally means all of B'nei Yisrael that are Chayab by Shchut Echutz. When it comes to the Shlosha Hedyotot that we mentioned by Nidarim, so it means all of Bnei Yisrael that would qualify. Who are all Bnei Yisrael qualified? People who are Savrei, or people who know what it means to be Matir Neder. So again, it's not exactly parallel Kol Yisrael by Shchut Echutz is the same Kol Yisrael by Nidarim, but each one in its own category. Shchut Echutz, Kol Yisrael literally means Kol Yisrael. By Nidarim, Kol Yisrael means anyone who's qualified to be Matir Neder with that minimum threshold. They don't have to be a mumche, but they at least need to be someone who can understand and be matir the neder. All right. Now the Gemara continues with Beit Shammai's limud as to where they know Shlosha Hedyotot from. So it comes out of this limud Rabbi Asi Bar Natan brought, which is Rabbi Bar Natan dichtiv vaydeber Moshe et modeh Hashem el bnei Yisrael v'atanya. We have a bright. Rabbi Yosi Glilu Omer Moadei Nemru v'nemra Shabbat Breshit. It mentions the Moadim, but does not mention Shabbat Breshit imahem, along with them. Ben Azai Omer Moadei Nemru V'lo Nemar Pashat Nidarim imahem, but it does not say Pashat Nidarim with them. So it seems to be that the word Moadei is a miut of some sort. It comes to exclude that the Moadim have something in particular that is not shared with Shabbat Breshit. Shabbat Breshit, as the Rosh points out over here, is in distinction to just plain Shabbat, because the Moadim, or the Yomim Tovim in the Torah, are also called Shabbat. So when I want to talk about Shabbat, the real Shabbat, I call it Shabbat Breshit. That's what it means here, Shabbat Breshit. But so when we use the word Moed, Moed means Moadim, the Chagim, but not Shabbat. It also means that the Moadim and not Nidarim. And we'll see why that's the case. So now, Ato Rabbi Asi Bar Natan, Kashale Hai Matnita. This Breita was difficult for Rabbi Asi Bar Natan to explain. He was perplexed by this Breita. What does the Moadim have to do with excluding Shabbat? What does it have to do with excluding Nidarim? Ata l'Nardo, l'kamed the Rav Sheshet. He went to Nardo to find Rav Sheshet to get an explanation. Lo ashkechei, couldn't find him. Va'ata batrei the Mechuzza. Found out that he was traveling and he had left town, gone to Mechuzza, so he chased after them to there. Amalei, I don't understand. Moadei Hashem nemru, v'lnei emra Shabbat b'reshit mehem? Is it really true that it talks about Moadei Hashem, but Shabbat b'reshit is not said by them? V'aktiv, Shabbat imahem. Shabbat is there with them. Vitu, Moadei Hashem Nemru, V'lo Nemra, Parshat Nidarim Mahem. The Moadim are spoken about, but the Parshat Nidarim is not. V'amisitra Ketiva. At the tail end, it's written. Or adjacent to it, it's written. So we know that the Parshat Moadot begins with Shabbat. That's what we learn when we learn Parshat Nemor. We know that first you deal with Shabbat, and then you go into Pesach and the remainder of the Moadim. So Shabbat is mentioned by the Moadim. So what does this breita mean that Moadim and not Shabbat? The guards in the Darim, at the end of Parshat Pinchas, we have all the Korbanei Musaf of the Yomim Tovim. And adjacent to that, we have the Parshat Matot, which is Parshat Nedarim. So he said, okay, they may not be written together like Shabbat and Yom Tov, but they are adjacent. At the tail end of the Musafim, the Dinim of Yom Tov, with regards to Musaf, we have Parshat and Nedarim. So why is the Braita saying that they're not connected? So he answers him, Amalei Ochitani. This is what it means. Mo'adei Hashem tzrichim kiddush beitin, Shabbat Breshit ain't tzrichim kiddush beitin. When it comes to all the Mo'adim, all the holidays, they require sanctification, ayidei beitin. Shabbat Breshit, Shabbat that we have every week, does not require sanctification, ayidei beitin. Mo'adei Hashem tzrichim mumche, vein parshat nedarim tzrichim mumche. The Mo'adei Hashem require an mumche, whereas the Parshat Nedarim does not require a mumche, afilu beitin shel hedyotot. Because even if a beitin of hedyotot would be sufficient. By Parshat Nedarim it says Roshei Amatot Ktiv, like what we just discussed right now. Am Rav Chista v'itema Rabbi Yochanan, what we just saw before, v'yachid mumche. We'll say that that reference is to a case of yachid mumche. So what you see here from the Limudim is that Mo'adim have certain unique properties that are not shared with Shabbat Breshit, which is, again, subsumed in the Parshat HaMo'adot, but the Eila Mo'adei comes to say Eila, this, and nothing else. It means this Mo'ad has this din, but not Shabbat. Same thing with the juxtaposition of Parshat Pinchas to Parshat Matot by the Nidarim. The Eile Mo'adei teaches us that which is true by the Mo'adim is not true by Nidarim. And the Bright explains what these items are. That with regards to Yom Tov requires Kiddush Beitin. Beitin is Mekadesh the Chodesh. Ayadeh the Kiddush HaChodesh, that determines when Yom Tov will fall out. And Beitin is empowered to make those decisions to establish the Yomim Tovim and to do that through the Kviya of Rosh Chodesh. We have the very famous formulation of the Rambam as well, with regards that even today, where our Kiddush HaChodesh runs by the calendar, and we know when Rosh Chodesh is because of the calendar, the way the calendar is set up, nevertheless, he said this was set in motion by a Beit Din of Smuchim, who were Mekadesh the Chodesh forward through the Luach, and therefore we still, in a way, have our Kiddush HaChodesh and the Kiddush HaYomim Tovim from that Beit Din of Smuchim that set the Luach into motion. That is true of Yom Tov, but that is not true of Shabbat. There's no requirement on Shabbat that you say, today's Yom Rishon, tomorrow's Yom Sheni, until you get to Shabbat, and we establish when Shabbat is by counting the days. Shabbat is what we call Kiddush V'Kayimo. It's Kadosh, and stands on its own. Something that's Kadosh Mimaseh Breshit, it's Kadosh from Hashem, and does not require the human input to be, in a sense, Mikadeshit. The Gemara in Beitza discusses the famous difference between these two and how that shows up in our formulation in Tfilah, the bracha for Yom Tov in Shmoneh Esrei or any of the Chagim is Mekadesh Yisrael, and then the Chag, or Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Hazmanim, for the Shlosha Regalim, or for Rosh Chodesh, Mekadesh Yisrael, V'Roshei Chodeshim. In all of these instances, there's Kiddush Yisrael, because Yisrael is empowered to be Mekadesh the Chodeshim, which is Mekadesh the Yomim Tovim. Whereas by Shabbat, we are not the determiners of when Shabbat falls out, and therefore the bracha is Mekadesh HaShabbat instead of Mekadesh Yisrael VaShabbat, because it has nothing to do with us. Shabbat exists without us. Now there is, it's not for the discussion now, we discussed it more in Beitzah, there is a level of human input in terms of Kiddush HaShabbat that we can enhance the Kiddush HaShabbat, and we can elevate the Kiddush HaShabbat by our adding on, because Shabbat is not only Shabbat Breshit, but it's also Shabbat as part of the Parshat HaMo'adim. So Shabbat has two aspects to it. It has an aspect of being Shabbat Breshit, which is Kiddush V'Kayimo, but also has an aspect of being one of the Mo'adim. And that it's Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim as well. And therefore there is a Tzad of Shabbat that also acts and looks like Yom Tov. But what we're saying here is that that unique aspect of the Kiddush Ayudei Beit Din is only applicable by Mo'adim, is not applicable by Shabbat. The second thing we learn is that when it comes to the Kiddush HaChodesh for the establishment of the Chagim, that has to be done by a Beit Din of Mumchim, or even more acutely, a Beit Din of Smuchim that do this. That's not true by the case of Atarat Nedarim. By Atarat Nedarim, you do not require Mumchim, Smuchim, you only require Hedyotot. You can have three Hedyotot, and that will be sufficient, and that's the Miut from the case of Mo'ed to Nidarim, that juxtaposition, what the Miut's coming to tell you is, don't learn from the Mo'adim, that Just like over there, it's done by Mumchim Smuchim, that also by Nidarim has to be done by Mumchim Smuchim, because Shlosha Hed Yotot work. You can have three lay people do it, and it's just fine. Now, how do we know by Yom Tov, first of all, that Bnei Yisrael are the ones that are Mekadesh, the Rosh HaKodeshim and the Yom Tovim? Number two is, how do we know that's done by a Beit Din of Smuchim? So that really comes out of the Pasuk, which is Asher Tikru Otam B'Moadam. The word Otam over there is spelled without a Vav. It's spelled Chaser, and it looks like Atem. So that's what we learned out. Asher Tikru'u Atem. You will call out. You will establish the days of the Chagim. How do you do that? By establishing what day is Rosh Chodesh. So they learn out that Limud of Asher Tikru'u Otam. Instead of saying Otam, they say Atem. That's also the same way that we know that you need Smuchim. And Mumchim is because it says Atem. What is the antecedent of Atem? So they suggest that's Moshe and Aaron. So Moshe and Aaron are Smuchim. And therefore, the Atem that is being referenced in the Pasuk is Smuchim. So that is the requirement by Moadim. Number one is that you need a Beitin of three to be Mekadesh, the item. And that Beitin of three has to be made up of Smuchim. With regards to Shabbat, we don't require Kiddush at all. And with regards to Nidarim, we don't require Mumchim, and that's what the Eile by Moadim, which is a Miut, came to teach us, or to separate the Moadim from these other two items, which is Shabbat Breshit and Nidarim, which have some connection to the Moadim, and here it comes to sever that relationship with regards to this din. Over here, the Ran once again brings down a Malchloket that was discussed. He discussed it back in Daf Chet, he discussed it back in Chav Gimel, now he discusses it again, which is that there is a famous machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban. The Ramban over here says, if I read this Gemara, that the Gemara sounds like I can have a choice of Shlosha Hedyotot, three lay people, or Yachid Mumche, a single individual is a Mumche. If I look at the Limud over here from, for instance, the Moadim, it says over here that the Moadim requires Smuchim. The Hatarat Nidarim does not require Smuchim. Well, when we talk about that, the Rat Nidarim that doesn't require Smuchim, that's talking about Shlosha Hedyotot. That's three people. So that means that when it comes to a Beit Din of lay people, you don't require Smuchim because that's contrasted with that which takes place by the Moadim. Moadim requires Smuchim, that by the Rat Nidarim does not require Smuchim. On the other hand, when it comes to a Yachid Mumche, comes to an individual who is being Matineder as a Mumche, it sounds like he is still included under that rubric of a Beit Din and Smuchim, and therefore the Yadgrin Mumche would require Smicha. And that's what the Ramban says, that Hatarat Nidarim, Ayidei Yachid, by a single individual, is only true by a Chacham Mufla V'Samuch, a great Chacham who's also a Samuch. If he doesn't have Smicha, then he cannot be Mat the Neder alone, or as a Yachid Mumche. The Rambam disagrees with him, and the Rambam says that Yechid Mumche over here does not mean Samuch, but rather means Mumche. It has to be a Gadol Ador. It has to be one of the great ones of the generation, one of the leaders of the generation. The Ran back on Daf Chet seems to favor the position of the Rambam, and Chav Gimel seems to favor the position of the Ramban. Over here, he seems to lean more heavily towards the Ramban, but then he gives a lot of answers and explains more clearly the Shita of the Rambam. And explaining the Sheet of the Rambam, he says that I have a proof to the Rambam's position, because over here by Hatarat Nidarim it says Rosh HaMatot. Rosh HaMatot is a terminology that is not used when you're talking about Smuchim. The Torah has a very specific word it uses by Smuchim, and that is Elohim. Whenever the Torah requires an individual, a Dayan who's Samuch, it uses the term Elohim. If it wanted to say Samuch over here, it would have used Elohim. The fact that it uses Rosh HaMatot seems to indicate that we're talking about something different. Then he works through the complexity of then what exactly, if Rosh HaMatot already teaches you don't need Smuchim, then what exactly are we learning from the Eile Moladei, which comes to exclude the case of Nidarim. So then both sides quote a Yushalmi, one saying that it supports them, one saying it supports the other. But again, it's an important machloket here between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether Yachin Mumche has to be a Samuch or not be a Samuch. Rav Soloveitchik, Kedarka Bakodesh, has an interesting explanation of the machloket, and he says that the reason the Rambam doesn't think you need a samuch over here is because the way that the Torah Tacham works is like hora'ah. It's like giving a psak aloha. We discussed this yesterday. It's like Isur Veheter, and he's giving a psak aloha with regards to the neder. So he says it's asur, it's mutar. Problem is, by Hatarat Nidarim, there aren't two sides to it. There isn't a hora'ah, a decision by the chacham to determine whether the item is asur, or to determine whether the item is mutar. Over here, the hora'ah only has one side to it, which is that if he's matir the neder, then he gave a hora'ah to be matir the neder. But then if he does not find a petach or a charata that allows him to be matir the neder, then the neder goes on to be asur, not because he paskined that it was asur, because he failed to find a way to be matir it. So the status quo is what makes it asur. It's not the hacham himself. And therefore, since this is a failure of hora'ah, in the sense that hora'ah includes two sides, heter and isur, the fact that you can't generate the side of isur over here through hora'ah is what gives it a deficit in hora'ah. That's why the Rambam, according to Soloveitchik, says that you don't require smuchim. This is not real hora'ah over here. It's not a hora'ah where you're going to end up with two sides, and the hacham is the determining factor in which of those two sides is correct. Because the ned already exists. And therefore, you only make a psak in one direction, which is the direction of hatara. And that's not a type of hora'ah or hatara that you would require a samuch or a beit din to deal with. Then the Ran at the end says, according to the Rambam, who says you do not require smuchim, he says that there are other people I've seen write that believe that when it comes to today, even according to the Rambam, there's no such thing as a yachid mumche. The yachid mumche is not just the best guy in his generation. It means the best of the best. And we don't have any of those left, so we don't have the best. The best, therefore, there's no yachid mumche. The Ran says that's absolutely wrong. He says he disagrees completely, and he believes that the din of Rosh HaMatot is the equivalent of a drasha that the Gemara makes regard to Shoftim, which is Yiftach Bidoro Kishmuel Bidoro. That it doesn't matter who the Shofet is at the time, whether it's Yiftach or it's Shmuel, they are the leader of the generation. And if you have to go to the leader, if you have to consult with the leader of the generation, or you need Hatarat Nedarim by the leader of the generation, that's who does it, irrespective of the fact that they're not necessarily objectively a yachid mumche, a biggest, one of the biggest gedolei ador. That's not necessary here. Yachid mumche just means that you have to have the, on a relative basis, the best person in the generation. Person who's the most significant chacham in the generation, he can make that type of hatarah through yachid mumche. And that's what he says here. Ve'lo nir li'kein elilo ba'i samuch. You don't need smicha kohecha d'gamir v'savir. Anybody who learns and understands, and if he is one of the leaders of his generation, that is sufficient to be a yachid mumche. So he doesn't have to be a leader that would be a leader in all generations. He just has to be a leader in his generation. That's sufficient to be a yachid mumche. These other deot suggested that there is no such thing in our generation as a yachid mumche, because you can't get there anymore. We don't have those types of talmidei chachamim anymore. The Ran says he doesn't see that. He says if the Torah says Rosh HaMatot, it means the leaders of the generation. You can't look at them in contrast to other generations. You have to look at them as the way they are in your generation. And that's what matters. Whoever the leaders are, whoever the Rosh HaMatot are, they are significant because they are the Rosh HaMatot. And that's enough. You don't need to be, in comparison to all generations, Rosh HaMatot. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Ashotek, Amanat, the Mekat, Mefer, Vafil Mikan, Vadyud Yamim. Person who wants to be mayfair, nullify his wife's neder, but he also wants to provoke her a little bit and to leave her in limbo or in a little bit of pain about taking the neder. Now, whether that's constructive nature, which is that he doesn't want her taking the darim, and therefore he's trying to inculcate that in her, not to play around with the darim, or whether that's because his wife was testing him, seems to be that this was a common practice in their day, where the wife would take a neder to see if her husband really liked her. And if he was made for the neder, then she knew he liked him. If he wasn't made for the neder and left her in the neder, then she felt that he really hated her and wanted to dissolve the marriage. So her taking a neder was a kind of litmus test for his love for her. So over here, he doesn't like this game that she's playing. And therefore, he wants to be made for the neder, but he wants her to, again, be left in limbo for a little bit. She doesn't play this game anymore. So what he does is he shotek, he's silent. Now we know with regards to hakamata neder, silence is acquiescence. If you pass Yom Shamo with silence, then, and we'll see this more in detail in tomorrow's daf, then that generates a hakamata neder by default, because you were not made for the neder. So here the person is shotek, but he only does it on not the makat. He only does it with the intent to cause duress to his wife. And as the Rishonim point out of here, he was mevatel belibo. that his heart, he was mevatel the neder, and all he did was he didn't inform his wife about it. So he did the hafara b'leiv, but he did not inform his wife as to the fact that the hafara was already done. So that way he holds her in limbo, in the sense that he doesn't articulate or tell her this. But on the other hand, he's made for the nether within Biyom Shamo because he did it b'leiv. And so because of that, according to this, he has the right to do it for another 10 days or whatever amount of time. The hafara is done because he did the hafara b'leiv. Always know the information or being informing the wife is what's lacking, and that he can do at a later date in order to, again, cause her some duress. Meiti Rava, Reva challenges this. Ematai, as again we saw earlier in the Masechta. Ematai Amru, Meita Baal Nitmukna Rishut Av. When do we say when the husband dies that that right is then granted to the father? Bismach lo shama baal. When the husband didn't hear about the nether. Oh, shishama b'shatak. Or he heard about it and he did not say anything. Oh, shishama v'afer. Or he heard about it and he nullified it. Umeit bo bayom, and he died on that day. Aval. But in a case, shama v'kiyem, if he heard about it and he was mikayem the nether. Oh, shishama v'shatak. Or he heard about the nether and then he was silent. Umeit b'yom shel acharav, but he only died the next day. Ein yochol la'afer. The father then can't do afara because the bowels piece of it will not vert, will not be released to the father in order for him to be made for that which the bowel put in place. So now, my love, what's the case here in the Mishnah? Bishotek alamat lemekat. That it's even a case where he's silent, in a case where he wanted to cause his wife a little duress. Because over here in the Brighta, when it mentions the word shatak, it does it generically. It doesn't define what type of shtika it is. It sounds like any type of shtika. So that's whether he did a shtika, which was real silence. He didn't say anything or he didn't think anything. Or a shtika that he did with a hafara b'leiv, where he really wants to be made for it. He's just holding out and informing his wife because he wants to cause her a little pain for her to squirm a little bit. So over here, based on our quote that we just brought down, it seems like from over here, when the baal is shema v'shatak, and who made b'yom shel acharav, and he dies the next day, then it doesn't, there's nothing he can do about it. Now, based on what Rabbi Chanina said, that's not the case. If he was shatak al yimanat mekat, then it doesn't really matter that it didn't happen on today. Even if it would happen tomorrow or the next day, any of those still remain days that are open to acharav, because the acharav is really in motion, it's just the information that has been granted to her. So that's what the Gemara says here. My love, she'll take amanat the mekat. I says, no, but she'll take amanat the kayim. It's a case where he was silent, and his silence was to be construed as acquiescence. Where says, Yochi, I know, Oshama v'kiyem. That case is explicitly mentioned in the Brayta already, that he heard about it, and he was Mekayim the Neder. So why do you have to tell me about Shtika, if he's Shtika, in order to be Mekayim? Ela b'shutek, Stam. That Brayta is talking about a case where he was silent, and that was it. So you really have three different types of silences. You have a silence which is acquiescence, which is shtika kol da'a, or shtiaka ki kiyum, where his silence, he intends to be a kiyum and neder. Again, we'll deal with this in more detail in tomorrow's daf. You have a shtika, which is a shtika stam, where he's just silent, but he has nothing in mind, he doesn't have any intent with it. And you have another shtika, which is a shtika of hafara, where he really is made for the neder, but he shall take because he wants her to suffer a little bit. So what Rabbi Chanina is speaking about is a shtika, that is a shtika of hafara. That he did the shtika he intended for hafara, now he's just cleaning up the situation afterwards when he tells her, but he leaves her in limbo till that point in time. On the other hand, the shtika that is found in the Braita, which is the shtika mentioned there, could have been a shtika of kiyum, but the Gemara says the shtika of kiyum I already have, shema v'kiyem. It's synonymous with kiyum. El, it must be a shtika stam, where he was silent and he didn't have any intent about it. He didn't say anything. So in that case, the shtika stam, it makes a difference whether he passes away on the day that he heard about it, or he passes away the next day. If he passes away the next day, there's nothing to do anymore. If he passes away on the day, and if he was silent, then he didn't change the fact that the neder, or his right to nullify the neder, still exists, and that can be passed over to the father to finish off that process if he so chooses. Okay, we're going to stop here, the second to last line from the bottom of Ayin Chet Amud Bet.